This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning at 8:06. Happy race day. It's boat racing actually going on. You would think we'd need that with showers, but they actually have it going on in Bay Minette. We'll try to talk about that a little bit today, so I guess it's perfect weather for the boat races. What a huge show. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway and Five Flag Speedway at Sunny South Raceway. By the way, it rained out last night. The makeup event will be in September, and now there's a $200 bounty on Hunter Lewis in the Legends class, and they've got a huge SCCA event coming up July 27th. Also, thank you to Southern Raceway. So what do we got planned for this big hour? Hang on, strap in. Here we go. Mobile International Speedway and Five Flag Speedway. Tim Bryant has a huge night tonight planned. If we can get through this weather at Five Flags, it's the Emerald Coast Drifters bringing a big competition to the Speedway tonight. And if you've not seen drifting, it's well worth it to come check out. They camp around. I mean, literally, people park their cars on the infield. These guys get close to the track, and it's a really cool experience. Tim's on the line. We'll talk to him here in just a minute. Matt Weaver, also with Popular Speed, going to talk about the changes in the Southern Super Series. Last race of the season, no longer going to be at Fairground Speedway in Nashville, as they changed the All-American 400 to Prolate Model Race instead of a super race. Lots of people talking about this, so we'll see the breakdown and what he has to say in his opinion. It's always pretty good with Matt. And how about Gene Denmark? He's really starting to turn some heads in the Bombers Series this year at Mobile and Five Flag Speedway after shattering the old track record just about a week or so ago. And also, by the way, he is teammates to that one guy, BJ something or rather, that has won 16 in a row. So you think they're sharing information? That car's fast. He's had a lot of podiums. We'll talk with Gino. And then another huge night tonight on the dirt at Southern Raceway. Jay Wells standing by in Milton. The Vintage Six-Pack. This is cool. Six 10-lap dashes with the regular week program. And guess what? In just a few weeks, the sprint cars are back. And that is going to be a big show as well. So we'll see what we've got coming on. First of all, let me just say good morning to Tim Bryant. And as always, on a Saturday when you have an event and there's rain in the way, you're already looking at the radar, aren't you?
Yeah, woke up looking at the radar this morning. Of course, the Mountain Dew Kickstart Drift Series has been anticipating today for a while. It's been since April, I think, since we did any drifting at Five Flags. A bunch of the Emerald Coast Drifters are chomping at the bit, and we think we have a chance this afternoon. But we'll assess the weather probably about noon, and of course we'll post anything immediately on our Facebook page and on the Emerald Coast Drifters Facebook page if we've rescheduled. In all likelihood, the rescheduled date would probably be 2 weeks from today, with a big racing weekend on the Gulf Coast next weekend. Right. Obviously, we can't do it. So anyway, we're still hoping for today, though.
Yeah, and the Mountain Dew Kickstart drifting is pretty cool. What you do, and I've tried to tell people about this, we've got a lot of interest around the Gulf Coast because people have said, man, they should do that at Mobile. I said, well, you just go another 45 minutes. They're doing it, and they're doing it on the infield where you park the race cars and the haulers. Usually, well, you're using those roads that you cruise back and forth on, and you've laid down brand-new asphalt. And really, these guys from the Emerald Coast Drifters have taken to this and made it huge, because not only when you go to a drifting event, what we've learned, at least I have, Tim, from doing the announcing and having some fun with those guys, is it's almost like a special event, because you have a NASCAR camping style, people parking their cars and trucks onto turn one and turn two on the speedway to watch as they go through the pits. That's exciting. And then you've also got, gosh, a car show along to go with it.
Well, you know what, it's exactly that. It's a gigantic tailgate party. Yeah. And you're right there close to the action. Everything, as you said, everything happens in the infield. It costs $10 to get in. And, people just line up through the infield. And when the infield gets full, they line up around the racetrack. And, it's good visibility and just a lot of fun watching these guys slide. It's not a race. It's about technique. It's about style. And, of course, the coolest thing at the end of the night is most of these guys, if they haven't already, they want to burn the tires off until they pop.
And that's pretty cool. You got about 12 or 13 cars on there just burning them out, and they got their lights flashing and stuff. It's pretty cool. And those guys really have a good time. So, again, fingers are crossed you can make it out there. Keep an eye on the Facebook pages with Emerald Coast Drifters, also Five Flag Speedway, and, of course, Full Throttle Racing with Kane, because we'll, as soon as we find out, put it out there as well. Well, let's talk about next weekend. The super late models are going to be back, and this is a huge one Friday night. Thanks to Papa John's, the 125 Blizzard attracting top super late model drivers and a huge fireworks show. It's going to be big.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having the Southern Super Series back in town and the Buddy's Home Furnishing Blizzard Series. Some great action. The race at Gresham last Saturday night, one of the closest super late model races in recent memory, with Anderson Bowen taking the lead from Daniel Hemric on the final lap. A tight points race going on. Yep. Anderson Bowen now in the lead over Bubba Pollard. Augie Creel is third. The racing has just been, as good as you could ask for. So certainly we're expecting that both Friday and Saturday night. As you mentioned, Friday night, of course, we got the Super Stocks, the Sportsmen and Bombers in action. And thanks to our good friends at Deep South Cranes, a big fireworks show. So be a big night Friday night. The Super Stocks actually have a doubleheader next weekend. Ooh. As we put them into the Saturday night program by virtue of the July 5th date that got kind of shifted around. So five divisions are racing on Saturday night with the Pro Trucks, again, the Super Stocks, Sportsman and Bomber, and, of course, the Pepsi 125 for super late models.
One of the big news items that I want to touch base with, and I know Matt Weaver is also going to touch base with, is obviously the change in the last venue of Fairground Speedway in Nashville. As last race weekend, the promoter, Tony Formosa, said that they were planning on changing that All-American 400, which has been a super late race since forever, it seems, to a pro late model race. And with doing so, it's been a crazy week. Can you just give us a little insight? Bubba Pollard earned his first victory outside the southeastern region last night at the All-Stars Tour 100 at the Battle at Berlin. So he's one of the guys that's not happy about the change.
Well, I mean, the All-American 400 has been a very traditional super late model race, considered one of the crown jewels, along with the Winchester 400, the World Crown 300 coming up in a few weeks at Gresham, and, of course, the Snowball Derby. But, Tony Formosa runs a pro late model program at his track during the season. His rules package is a little different than ours on the pro late model side, so it encompasses a broader type of car. And he's done well with his car count. He seemed to think that would be his best bet for his track this year to make that event a pro late model race. It frankly caught us a little bit off guard. So the Southern Super Series is kind of evaluating some options. I mean, that was going to be the season finale, and it's where the champion would have been crowned. Of course, the race prior to that is at Mobile Speedway, so it's possible the championship will be there. But there's some very interesting options being explored right now, and hopefully our goal is by Friday at Pensacola to announce at the driver's meeting any changes in the schedule that might be taking place. And let me just say, it's possible that race will simply be dropped and the finale will be on September 20th at Mobile. But it's also very possible that some of the options that are really looking good are going to be quite interesting, and I'll leave it at that.
Wow, that's cool. Well, that's a good way to do it. I tell you what, well done, promoter. the big thing is what I've seen about this class, though, is it's been some exciting racing this year. In the Southern Super Series, when they show up at the track, and I can tell you, all over Facebook this week, when this story broke, a lot of fans of Mobile International Speedway are just begging to have that race there, because, it's always exciting. It packs out the crowd. But I could also see possibly, would you consider or entertain the idea of doing it at Five Flags as a final push to get ready for the Snowball?
Well, I mean, there's been discussions about all of that. Now, let me say this, replacing that race with a race the magnitude of the All-American 400 is not likely to happen. That's a type of event like the Snowball and the ARCA Mobile 200. That's a year-long promotion.
Right.
I mean, you just can't have a race that size and get it put together properly in a short period of time. So wherever it's rescheduled, it's probably going to be a shorter distance race, but it'll be something special, I'm sure, especially as tight as the points chase is for the Southern Super Series, and it's all going to come down to that final race, wherever and whenever.
That's well put. Well, you'll be able to see these cars next week along the Gulf Coast. And again, FiveFlagSpeedway.com. Look them up on Facebook, Emerald Coast Drifters, and also Full Throttle Racing with Kane on Facebook. You're saying about noon probably is when you'll make the decision. And hopefully, the thing we really got to worry about, I know there's some showers still going through in that area now. It's kind of clear in Mobile, the studios, but lots of clouds in the area. But you got to worry about what's already been falling, and it's kind of got that bowl effect inside where those guys do the drifting, right?
Yeah, I think the certainly we could dry the pavement, but as you know, not all of them always stay on the pavement. We've got to make sure if they get off the pavement, they don't slide into the next county.
Well, that's true. Well, Tim, we appreciate it. How do we find the track coming off the interstate if we want to come by today?
It's exit 7 off Interstate 10, just 1 mile south on Pine Forest Road.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it, Tim. We appreciate you as always being a big part of the show, and hopefully we'll be back there in the next couple hours doing some drifting.
We hope so. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, there you go. Tim Bryant with Five Flag Speedway and Mobile International Speedway still scheduled to be on the show. Gino Denmark, he is turning heads in the bomber class. Also, Jay Wells with Southern Raceway. Matt Weaver with Popular Speed. And again, remember, Sunny South Raceway got rained out last night. Still a $200 bounty on Hunter Lewis. And the SCCA is coming July 27th. Lots to continue. Hang on. Good morning, and welcome back to Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org, and that's United States Fire Department Racing, based out of Kannapolis, North Carolina. Thrilled to be a part of that team again. And this year, we race to bring awareness and fundraising to our good friends, all the volunteer fire departments. And I tell you, if you're a volunteer fireman or you're with a department along the Gulf Coast, you'd like to have a couple of race cars come out, again, just find me at Full Throttle Racing with Kane on Facebook, or go to USFD Racing, like their page as well, and you can get a hold of me there, and we'll have a couple cars there. Anything we can do to help you guys, we appreciate everything. Still to come, what a great name Gino Denmark has made for himself in the bomber class at Mobile and Five Flag Speedway. He shattered the old track record of J.J. Days, and that's saying something because that thing's been there for a few years. Jay Wells also with Southern Raceway and Vintage Six-Pack, 6 10-lap dashes tonight with regular weekly programs, and I believe it's, I want to say, August the 2nd, the sprint cars come back. That'll be huge. Can't wait for that. And then again, Sunny South Raceway rained out last night. Makeup event coming up in September. And now a $200 bounty on Hunter Lewis in the Legends class. And remember, something pretty cool that you could be a part of. Take your car out in the actual parking lot, and they stage at the racetrack at Sunny South Raceway. It's SCCA. Pretty neat stuff, July 27th. So I think we'll try to get a hold of Joe, but I believe we're giving him the day off as well because they weren't racing. So we'll see. Coming up next, well, we got him right here, and he's always got a great opinion on pretty much anything, and he's very knowledgeable from NASCAR to IndyCar to, gosh, you know, his car, because he spends so much time traveling. It's Matt Weaver. Matt, good morning, and welcome to the show on a rare off-race weekend for you, so you're enjoying some family time.
Yes, I am, Kay. Hey, as usual, you've got a great show lined up this weekend. A lot of cool guests, but I've got to tell you, it never fails. I'm always the weak link.
No, usually it's me, the weak link.
Well, that being said, you know, it's always cool to be on.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, okay, let's just start off hitting for the home run here. You know, obviously big news that you helped break about the Southern Super Series. Can you explain what you heard, what was said at the race on last weekend, and how this all's come to where it's at now?
Well, you know, this has been, in some ways, a frustrating story to cover because a lot of it had the potential to be he said, she said, and that was where some of the controversy was created, because I'm not entirely sure that everyone was on the same page concerning what exactly had happened. But on Saturday afternoon, at his driver's meeting, as Tim Bryant touched on earlier this morning, Tony Formosa, the track president at Nashville, told his drivers that, hey, we're going to turn the All-American 400 super late model race into a 300-lap pro late model race. What do you guys think about that? And the thing is that, and I don't think Tim touched on this, you know, as annoying as it can be for super late fans to hear this news, you got to understand they've got a big sponsor in Big Machine Records that came on this year and signed on to sponsor their pro late model division, and it really has become their elite division.
Well, they're getting 24 and 25 cars sometimes.
Absolutely. 5,000 to win for a pro-late model race to do that.
Wow.
But yeah, he told his drivers we're making this move towards pro-late models, and, you know, needless to say, that created a bit of a storm, because I start getting several texts and Facebook messages and tweets from drivers and later fans, because he made the announcement a second time over the track PA during intermission. And, you know, it was from enough drivers and fans that you didn't have 10 people making up the same story. Mm-hmm. And so, but just to check, I checked in with Tim and I checked in with Southern Super Series officials just to make sure that, you know, yeah, everyone was on the same page about what had happened. And I got it confirmed from multiple sources there within the series. And, you know, like Tim mentioned the specifics of a lot of it, but it leaves the Southern Super Series without a season finale.
And that was really a big one.
One of the marquee races.
Yeah, and that's what Tim said. You know, that's their Snowball Derby. It's, like you see, a marquee event. So what the track will have to do is, I wouldn't say, you know, obviously Tim had some good news. He's still trying to, I mean, that guy's got so many irons in the fire, what he's doing with the two speedways here and that. So he's always working and trying to improve everything for the fans, the drivers, the sponsors, and everyone involved. So he's got to juggle that and try to find a good racetrack that, A, the teams are willing to go to do it, but obviously they will, especially like he said, as close as the points have been. But you know, what do you do? I have seen all over Facebook a lot of the local drivers and fans that go to Mobile, they sure would love to have it in Mobile. I'd love to see the fans come out and pack it, and I know who else would like to see it. The guy who won last night, again, Bubba at Bubba's house.
Well, Bubba's one of the guys who absolutely would not like to see that.
Oh.
I talked to Bubba when the announcement happened. And Bubba said, look, we lost several races last year, yeah, to rain, including two at Mobile.
Yeah.
And he says, that really hurt us in the points. Remember, Bubba Pollard lost the inaugural Southern Super Series championship by a single point, last year at Nashville in the All-American. And he believes with all of his heart, if he had those two Mobile races back, mm-hmm, he's your champion.
Yep.
And he says, what I don't want to see happen is the Southern Super Series not replace this race and just finish the year off at Mobile. Daniel Hemric, our defending champion,
yeah,
I talked to him as well, and he's just left disappointed. But he's also in the same mentality that, you know, if at all possible, the Southern Super Series needs to find some way to replace this event with something else somewhere else. Now, with that being said, I know that's a high expectation because this late in the year,
yeah,
one, most of the marquee dates that you can have a race are already taken by someone else.
Right.
For the most part, by and large, all these promoters across the country do a great job, much better than 5-10 years ago even,
mm-hmm,
of working with each other and picking dates that others have off. So now you can't just come in and pick another date because, one, the All-American 400 now takes one of those free dates,
yeah,
unless you want to go run head-to-head with them. And
that's nothing,
you know,
bad.
There's some merit of doing that too, if you ask me, but it's a tough spot to be in. Maybe you find another event that already has a date that's not currently sanctioned by a touring series. The one name that a lot of the drivers keep saying to me is the Florida Governor's Cup in New Smyrna Speedway, but that's late in the year in November. It's a little close to the Derby. But a lot of the Southern Super guys already run that race, so maybe that's an option as well. I don't want to, you know, put pressure on the Super Series or, you know, those track promoters to figure it out. But yeah, Tim mentioned that there are some options. There are some things that they're looking at. But it's a very tough deal, and it's not going to be something that happens overnight,
right,
because there are a lot of things that have to be put in place for a Southern Super Series race to happen. Plus, you've got only 3 months now, short of 3 months, to promote this race as a Southern Super Series event. So, gosh, I hate that it happened this fast. I know that Tony Formosa and the family there are really excited about their Pro Late Model division, but they had built something really special,
yeah,
over the past 2 years, and bringing back Super Late Models as the marquee division of the All-American 400. And now with this, you know, it's like Tim said, it used to be one of the four crown jewels, and now I think they've got a triple crown.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to look at it. As we shift gears to NASCAR, you know, I really have been waiting to talk to you about this new alliance, and now as I check out some of the morning websites, it's starting to become a peeing match between NASCAR and the Race Team Alliance, because now they'll talk to NASCAR through their attorneys. Oh, boy, here we go.
Well, you know,
but it's not a union. Hey, it's not a union.
Well, every time they say that, I die a little on the inside.
Yeah.
It's a union by every
right
sense of the definition, and they can call it not a union, but it is. And in saying so, that doesn't mean that it's a bad thing.
Right, right.
Team owners are still allowed to talk to NASCAR as individuals, but if they're going to act as a group and as a unit, that's when you go through the lawyers, which is a safe move by NASCAR, in my opinion. But at the crux of the entire Race Team Alliance, which is the name they've given themselves, it's being spearheaded, if you will, by Rob Kaufman, the principal owner at Michael Waltrip Racing. They want to kind of drive down costs for the owners. You know, even Brian France talked about it when we were in Daytona for his State of the Sport address a few weeks ago. We've got to cultivate an environment, he said, that allows smaller teams to come in and not only enter the sport,
be competitive.
But stay.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Swan Racing Team, which came in last year. They had oil money. 50 Cent came on board. And despite that high profile, they're gone.
Yeah.
And even Red Bull Racing, which came in with a lot of, you know, a lot of big money, a lot of excitement, and that big promotional arm that Red Bull has over everything they do, they still couldn't make it work in NASCAR. And so the RTA is looking at ways to decrease costs for hotels, for rental cars, for parts and pieces. And, you know, it's going to be a tough battle because, you know, if it stays pure and it stays about helping these teams thrive, that's a good thing. But, you know, you're from Indianapolis, so you understand this.
Yeah.
This has the potential to turn into CART,
where
it's the inmates running the asylum, and they killed Open Wheel Racing.
Yeah.
And two of the people in the RTA, might I add, Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi.
There you go.
Also members of CART, and they were privy to what happened there. And so maybe they've learned from past mistakes. Maybe not.
Wow.
So it's a tenuous situation, to say the least, with the RTA. There's a lot of good, but boy, you know, there are a lot of bad.
Well, you know, you want to hear good news through some of the stuff through NASCAR. As far as the points go in the championship, what is your thoughts on how it's going? How does it look? And then also, how about Tony Stewart last night? Just saying, he was his first time back in the sprint car, and he also won the race. Pretty cool.
Well, yeah, you know, for Tony specifically, it's been a tough year on the NASCAR side.
Yeah.
And so I think any time that you can win in something, it gives you back that confidence that says, hey, I haven't lost my touch, especially, you know, running those sprints, because it takes a special kind of BAMP, if you know what I mean, to go out there and run those types of cars.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of questions about Tony's health and if he's still capable of going out there and winning in anything, and he proved that he still can.
Yeah.
So now you've got to look and figure out, where is that Sprint Cup team at? We saw Kevin Harvick go out and win a bunch of races early, really led almost every single race, every single week. But the entire Stewart Haas Racing organization has kind of fallen off in, you know, the past few months. And Tony's at risk of missing the chase, which, by the way, that's incredible to me, is that when NASCAR announced this new format, they expanded the field to 16 drivers, and essentially everyone who won a race would make the chase. So naturally, when they announced that, I say, this isn't going to help your smaller teams like everyone said it was going to do.
Right.
All this was going to ensure is that all the big teams got their sponsors in and got their drivers in, all of Hendrick, all of RCR, all of Gibbs. And to NASCAR's credit, that has not been the case. You've got Eric Almirola, who is currently in the chase. Paul Menard, who has never made him a chase, he is, you know, on the verge.
Yeah.
Marcus Ambrose went out and tested at Watkins Glen. He is trying to get both RPM cars into the chase.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Stewart, not in the chase. Greg Biffle, out of the chase.
Yeah.
Brian Vickers, Kyle Larson. These are all big names that at the start of the season we said, hey, they're affiliated with major teams. Certainly they're going to be in the chase. And with eight races left to go, you got a neat little mix as it stands of major teams and small budget teams, and that's exactly to NASCAR's credit and what they hoped and what I hoped would happen. So well done so far with the new chase grid.
And it's not the Jimmy Johnson show every weekend.
It's pretty darn close.
Yeah, I know,
it's
but
either the Jimmy Johnson and Brad Keselowski,
you
know, co-sanctioned show. It's like 2012 all over again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a pretty good mix. Parity has been better in NASCAR. They've still got to work on that competition package a little bit. And that's another part of the RTA. NASCAR wants to decrease horsepower next season, which I think we would all agree would help the on-track product.
Yeah.
But in doing so, that's going to cost the teams. And a lot of those guys say, you know, we just developed this engine package a few years ago. Now you're telling me we need to spend money to create a new one and take it to the dyno and do all the things you have to do to maximize what you've got.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those teams say, I don't know if we can do this for the second time in 3 years.
Well, I know you've got another show to do this morning, so how do we keep track of you online?
Oh, the best way is on Twitter, Matt Weaver SBN on Twitter. That's also my Facebook name. Like I said, I do a little bit of everything. I've got NASCAR, IndyCar, and next weekend I'm bouncing back and forth between your hometown and Indy for Eldora, the Southern Super Series.
And we lost Matt. Well, he's already gone. Look at that. He's got to go so fast. Well, that's right, Matt. We know you've got to run and do another show. But, yeah, he'll be all over the place. And we're going to definitely cash in on that. Still to come so much. Hang on. Jay Wells has got a huge show the next couple of weeks and tonight with the Vintage. And then we're going to talk with Gino Denmark, one of the guys really shaking heads in that bomber class in Mobile and Five Flags. Hang on. Gino's next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, it's going to be awesome today over at Five Flags Speedway. I think, well, I'm looking outside and I see more clouds, but I hope that we do get the drifting in today. Emerald Coast Drift is a huge competition, and I'm really excited about it. Now, I want to mention something. Coming up July 26th is the next race at Mobile International Speedway. And before the race, I'm going to have my car and also Matt Weaver. Matt Jackson will have his McDonald's race car over at the new McDonald's Highway 98 in Daphne, and a big grand reopening. But here's the cool part. Not only am I going to be able to give you guys a set of Bayfest tickets. Have you heard who's coming to Bayfest this year? October 4th, 5th, and 6th. We're going to give away a pair that day. You just got to come by and sign up, say hi to us at the race car, and we'll be there from 11 to 2, and then we're heading over to the Speedway. But also, I've got tickets. We know it's going to be Kid Rock, STP, the list goes on and on. But I've also got tickets for the Pepsi Gulf Coast Jam. It's 2014. This is going to be good. August 29th, 30th, and 31st. Who's going to be there in Panama City? Carrie Underwood, Randy Houser, Love and Theft, John Michael Montgomery, Dierks Bentley, Big and Rich, the Trick Pony, Lone Star, and then Sunday, Blake Shelton. So we'll have 3 day passes given that. Again, we're also going to do that right after that race, July 26th, but July 27th, we're going to be at Pull Apart for a special event there. They're kind of doing a thank you appreciation day after the race next Saturday. So Sunday from 11 to 2, come by. We'll have more tickets to do that as well. Well, he's on the side of a road right now because he drives a Ford Mustang. That's what he told me. Gino, what are you doing, man? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Man, we're great. But Gino Denmark is the guy who's really turning heads behind BJ Latham. That team has put the stick up, and these guys are doing great. But you just tell me, I said, well, what are you doing this morning? I figured you're at the race shop. Nope. Tell the story.
Well, I was supposed to go to the race shop, and that's where I'm headed next. But the alternator went out on my Mustang last night, my Ford. And
ouch.
And now I'm on the side of the road trying to fix it.
Man, and here come the jokes. Just lay them up. Look at Gene Denmark up there on Facebook and give them to him. Man, tell me about that run you had last week or so over there at Five Flags Speedway. First of all, J&J had the track record of 21.806 for about a couple of years. You come in and you run a lap. You knew it was good, but you didn't know how good it was. Tell me the story.
Well, I was coming off a four there, and I knew it was a pretty good lap, so I looked over to the scoreboard, and as I was going down the front straightaway, and I seen it said 21.70, but then two trailers got in the way, and I couldn't see what it was. So I was pretty happy I got the track record, and I was coasting around the back straightaway there, and I got down the apron to come in the pits. And here comes the 8 car by me. And I was like, well, there goes that track record.
But it didn't happen. It didn't. Mr. Dominant, you were faster than him. And, boy, I tell you what, you should have seen that smile. I thought you were walking about 2 feet higher. What has it been like to be on the team that you've been on the team this year? You, your dad, Steve Denmark, you know, obviously he has a huge racing background. He's been doing this 25, 30 years or so. You guys know how to build the cars. You've been very successful, but you've been branded as cheaters because you win all the time.
Yeah, and
And we lost. I didn't hear what you said. Your phone cut out. Can you say that again?
I've had some pretty bad luck this year, but I've had some really good runs. And BJ, he's doing great, and he hasn't had any bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. How about the sponsors that help you guys every... Now, obviously, your team does a great job, but there are some guys on the car that are probably loving the fact that you guys are usually on the podium together.
Yes, sir. My mom and dad at the Island Rainbow, they're the main tire sponsor we have. Yeah. And Mama, she's always excited. She comes to all the races. And Johnny's RV, we had two blowouts on our trailer one weekend going to Pensacola, and he hooked us up with some tires for our trailers.
Awesome. Hey, that goes a long way. When, you know, bomber class, when I started the bombers, it was a $700, $800 car. You throw out the seats, you put in a rickety old racing seat, and you go, and you had a roll cage in it. These are purpose-built race cars from the ground up now, aren't they?
Yes, sir. We work real hard on them, and we go to practice most every Thursday. So we try, and every time we go out, something's different. I mean, it's never the same. So,
well, you guys were also featured. If you guys go onto Facebook, Roll Cage Cowboys, look us up. The first episode is out. Pretty good draft. There's a couple little audio issues that they got to work out, and we're going to have that done by the second episode. But to get it out there, to have the TV show, we've been pitching it. Just to let you know, Discovery Channel was one of the channels. They decided to decline it. They liked the show, but they just said it had too many auto shows. So our producers are doing a great job still trying to get the second episode ready to go and firing it out to networks. What was that like when you guys had cameras in your face all those times?
It was pretty cool. I mean, it made you feel like a superstar, I guess. But I thought it was even cooler to have the cameras inside the car. I mean, and that's where the fans are going to get the real experience from. And just us talking about it, it's not a whole lot, but getting them watching us do it, it's can't get better than that.
Yeah, it's like having a passenger seat in there. Well, Gino, I know you got rain coming, and you got a Mustang on the side of the road there, and that just made my day. I hate to say that, but I mean, Chevy driver, he's driving a Mustang, and oh, what do you? Oh, it's on the side of the road. Well, crap.
Well, so, I had the Mustang before I started racing.
Oh, there you go. Gino, get it done, my friend. Hey, how can we keep track of you? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, sir. I'm on Facebook. Me and BJ, we post a lot on there, and we get some pictures of the car on there and stuff. So.
Well, I know you guys are going to do great next weekend. I hope to get up there in the middle of y'all, so we'll see. But thank you so much for coming on the show, and by the end of the season, we'll definitely have you on again.
Well, I sure do appreciate it, King.
All right, there you go. Gino Denmark doing some mechanics work, we'll say, off the side of the road there. Good luck, my friend. Coming up next, oh, man, Jay Wells is ready. This is going to be a big show at Southern Raceway. We've been talking about it for a while, the Vintage Six-Pack, six 10-lap dashes with a regular weekly program. And, yes, the Sprint cars are back. Hang on, details coming up. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. Another reminder, sunny South Raceway. They got rained out last night. We gave Joe the morning off, and the makeup event will be in September. He'll be back on the show tomorrow. No, I won't be here tomorrow, but maybe next Saturday. Yeah, I know, right? And we've got $200 bounty on Hunter Lewis in the Legends class. SCCA, July 27th, also going to be out there. And before we bring Jay in, I just mentioned this before. The next time that Kane Motorsports is going to be out will be next Saturday, July 26th, from 11 to 2 at the McDonald's in Daphne. Come by. I'm going to have Matt Jackson over there as well with us with his McDonald's race car. Big event. Ronald McDonald will be there. And we're going to give away tickets not only to Bayfest, which got Kid Rock, Stone Temple Pilots, Alabama's coming back, but also I just worked out a deal to where we'll also have tickets to, if you haven't heard, the Pepsi Gulf Coast Jam. It's going to be Panama City on August 29th, 30th, and 31st. Randy Houser, Carrie Underwood, Dirks Bentley, Big and Rich, Lone Star, Blake Shelton, just to mention a couple of them, Blackjack Billy, a brand new band, Neil McCoy. So all you got to do is stop by, put your name in the hat, and we'll pick up tickets. You might be able to do that. So a big night tonight planned. Fingers are crossed. Track looks good. Rain is starting to get away from Milton. And we got Jay Wells with Southern Raceway. I tell you what, you have done so much in a small time over there. How's the track looking, man? You out there beating the mud out and the water out and making it good?
Well, you know, it's weather. A little bit of rain never really hurts a dirt track, you know, especially on a race day. It'll be all right. I think the long-term forecast, which is what we've been looking at for the last several hours now, it looks like this rain's going to roll out of here pretty quick. And if it does, we'll get out there and start beating some of that down into a racing surface and put the mini cars out there tonight.
Well, obviously, the gates are going to open up around 4 o'clock is the plan, but this is a cool event. You're bringing some neat ideas to the promotion side, especially the dirt track, with some of the things that you guys are doing. You've got the Vintage Six-Pack. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, I just thought it up a couple of days ago, so Yeah, we like to feature the local classes, the guys that come and race with us, you know, and the cars that race around the area every week. And this week it's a vintage six pack, basically six 10-lap races for the vintage cars. And, you know, people have asked, and one driver doesn't have to run all six. The car, you don't have to run all six. Yeah. So, you know, we've had requests for mechanics races, powder puffs. My sponsor wants to drive. And, well, you know, here's your chance. I mean, you've got six races, six 10-lap races that you can put your sponsor or your wife or your girlfriend or your mom or your dad, anybody. But, you know, or you can run them. I got to make a phone call here, which I didn't make yesterday. I didn't hear from yesterday, but I think I may have a potential money sponsor if somebody wants to try to win all six. You know, what we're planning on doing is the first five will pay $200 to the winner take all. And the last one will pay out our regular vintage purse. Just, you know, some good fun. I mean, I said something to get out there, feature the class, and make it exciting for the fans.
You know, this class is one that I'm really elevating towards for next year. I've been very vocal about it, and I really like them. They're essentially an open wheel modified, but with the old, you know, 32, 33, 34 coupe bodies. I have seen around the country that some of these cars will put a big sprint car wing on the front and on the top of it. You know, what does that do? Does that make a big difference? Does that just make them look like the older school ones? Because I know the bodies, from when I've talked to you and some of the other drivers, you're limited on what you can do because there's just not much out there.
Right. There's not a lot. I mean, the fiberglass bodies, the 34 Ford and Chevys that are run in the class now, you know, we're talking about broadening that a little bit and allowing some other kind of body styles, a lot of guys to get a little creative. But, you know, yeah, but, well, a lot of the older cars, the big cars had the wings on the front, you know, they were more sprint car style. And back in the day, you know, some of the older cars put the wings on them. You know, I mean, on a 3/8-mile dirt track, a wing's not really going to do a lot of good.
It'll look cool.
Yeah, I mean, some of our guys, if you ask them, they'll tell you they're going 200 miles an hour, but they're really not. So the wing doesn't, you know, the downforce doesn't come into play all that much. But
this class, from what I've seen, Jay, is a decently financially easy one to get into. $5,000 to $6,000, you can have a pretty decent starter car, and you can take it from there.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Again, you know, they're metric chassis with roll cages and a mildly built 350. We allow you to
a liar. A bit, you know. Liar.
And the fiberglass bodies on them. So, but they're all over the place for, you know, anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000, and you can get out there and have some fun. And, you know, we're not to downplay the speed stocks, the pure stocks, modified cars. You know, our modifieds with open engines are just, I mean, ground pounding monsters.
Yeah,
but not everybody can afford that kind of engine. So the vintage class is a good way to go have some fun, and the cars definitely attract a lot of attention.
You know, and we talked about it off the air again a couple of weeks ago. There's about 40 of these guys around, aren't there?
Man, they're all over the place. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we throw a big money race, and we usually get 20 to 25 of them from the local area. And there's, you know, a bunch of guys that run out at Smokey Harris on a regular basis. And there's actually quite a few of them around. And some of them got put up for a while, you know, and now they're starting to make a comeback. And Showtime's got his ready now. I saw him put a picture on it yesterday, and his is ready. So maybe he'll bring it out tonight. And hopefully we'll have a good turnout.
Well, I tell you what, John Thomas took the money, $1,000 to win, and I think you had 26 pure stocks at the track just a week or so ago. That was awesome to see, and they behaved. I was blown away. I'm like, come on, guys, really? I mean, but it looked amazing just to see that many cars on that track. You had to be just loving it as a promoter, and the fans and the drivers. Everything I've heard about and seen the in-car cameras, they loved it.
Yeah, we had a really good race. We've had several weeks now that we've had some really good races. And we, you know, dirt track racing always, of course, rubbing is racing. Then there's going to be some bumping, and you're going to honk the horn once in a while. You know what I mean? And that's expected, and we fully expect that and allow it. But, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is wrestle in this intentionally overdriving the car and using the other guy to turn. You know, a lot of the cars now, the wraps are expensive. The bodies are hard to find. Guys put a lot of work into these cars, and, you know, we just can't allow the rough driving that I guess the track had sort of gotten a reputation for to continue. And we've proven over the last several weeks, now that we've given them a 75-foot-wide surface to race on.
Plenty of room, yeah.
yeah, I mean, it wasn't one groove track for a while, so you had to move somebody to get around them, but that's not true any longer. You can go high, low, in the middle, so we're trying to, I guess, get them to stop leaning on each other and just go out there and race.
Well, you know, the open wheel modified, you got to give a shout out to the 75 of Joey Moxley. His first race, I believe, win at Southern, and boy, I tell you what, he was excited, and he dominated that race.
Yeah, man, he was gone. He just checked out and never looked back, and it was good to see Joey out there. You know, long-time racer. He's been racing a long time. Yeah. He bought Oakie Mason's old car runs asphalt now some, too, and he got a win in that, and now he's got his first modified dirt win with us out there at Southern, and I'm glad that he chose to come and play in the dirt with us, and hope he'll do it again.
Now, Mike Lane, the number 8, took the Neesmith Street Stock win, and then the last race, the vintage Tommy Warren Jr. in that red and yellow blue 98. He's been up front for a while there, too, so he might be one to pick there tonight. So how do we find the track tonight? It's really not that difficult.
Yeah, just follow me. I'll be heading there. It's real easy to find. I-10 into Florida. Exit 31, which is Highway 87, go south exactly 2 miles to the blinking yellow light. Take a left. There's a sign there. We have a sign on County Road 87. Yeah. So just come out about 3/4 of a mile, and we're on the right.
And again, with the weather, obviously, you'll do it on the website, which is southernraceway.com, but also we're looking to make sure on Facebook, I take it. What kind of decisions will you make, and how do you do that? You get to wait a little longer than the asphalt tracks? How does that work?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to wait and see what's going on. I mean, the infield drainage at Southern has been a problem. That's been addressed, so that's not a problem anymore. It's not Lake Southern. you know, we're gonna wait and see what happens. We're going to have another update about noon, and we'll do that on Facebook. We'll also we make sure now that we keep our phone message updated. So, you know, days like today, I'll make sure somebody's answering the phone. So we'll let you know. We'll hold out as long as we possibly can. Yeah. But not so long that, you know, we're going to mess you up if you want to make other plans for the night, and this just ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate what you're doing and being a part of the show, and I'll be back there in the next week or so, a couple of weeks, to do some announcing. I think, real quick, we have about 30 seconds, sprint cars are coming. Is that right, August 2nd?
Well, we're kind of looking at that. The Cajuns, everybody knows, they're kind of struggling on car counts, and, you know, a lot of our fans have expressed displeasure with the low car counts, so we're talking with the sprint cars guys right now, and we hope to bring them back, but you know, if they can't get more than 6 or 7 cars, we're going to put that money into our local classes.
Well, they don't mind that, I'm sure, either. So we appreciate you as always, Jay, and good luck. We'll keep an eye on Facebook.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jay Wells with Southern Raceway, and that'll do it for Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Going to be packing up again. Keep an eye out at Five Flag Speedway and also Emerald Coast Drifters at Full Throttle Racing with Kane, all on Facebook. Let you know if the drifting's going on tonight. And also, we'll keep an eye on Jay over there at Southern Raceway. If we hear something, we'll put it on our page. God bless y'all. You have a blessed weekend, and we'll do it again next Saturday.